This morning we were talking about how should the young secure the hearts, and 1 Timothy 4:12 certainly Paul would tell Timothy there that let no one despise thy youth, and he talked about being an example in so many ways and ways that we should be. But I was thinking, you know, as I talked about this, about it's all relative. Everybody was young once. I was thinking about to Cole. Now Milena's very old, and then you take Milena and Kara, and you got Katie and so many others in this audience that are they're extremely old to them. And then you take I'll just say Katie, and then you look back at Natalie and Nick, and they're very old to her. But then there's Natalie and Nick, and I'm very old to them. So it's just all relative, and I won't pick on anybody else because not too many older than me in this audience. So that's the way it works. But for the purpose of this lesson, we're talking about those formative years when we start to develop and start to do things. And I was talking to Glendon in between, and one of the things is we are a product of our upbringing. I don't care what happens. We are. And a lot of people will push it aside. They've been brought up by wonderful parents, and they just push it aside and determine they're going to do what they want to do, and it happens. And then there's people who had ungodly parents, and they push that aside, and they turn to God. So it's a matter of choice. But again, so much of what we are now is a result of what we were when we were young, and it's hard to get a lot of things out of us, and we have to really work on those things all the time. Took this lesson certainly from number 432, which says, "How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin?" When we look at this passage of Scripture and we think about it, I talked about Jesus was one who did that. He guarded his life. He secured his heart. When did he do this? Well, we see at the age of 12, he's already doing wonderful things. His ability to understand God's Word, his ability to do God's Word is beyond our comprehension. But it just shows that we can do it. We can, at a young age, start out very well if we choose to do so. First lesson, we talked about some advantages of being young and some disadvantages of being young. But now we're going to talk about securing the heart. This is the carrier that Bill's on. It is huge. I enjoyed going through that. And yet it's a tiny one compared to some of the big aircraft carriers. But you know what? It takes a lot to hold that thing down. You should see the anchors on it and the ropes. And if you look at this picture, this is not the same carrier, but it takes a lot to secure that. And these bollards over here that they fasten to, those aren't just tied into some little bit of pieces of wood. Those things are sunk way down. You know why they do that? Well, they do that in preparation because that thing could float away. It doesn't seem possible, but it can. And in addition to that, it can not only float away, be losing millions and millions of dollars if that thing just floated away and was wrecked out there somewhere. And so you prepare for this, and if a storm comes, then you hope that it holds. But even when you know a storm's coming, you know they do even more than that to secure that thing? Let me tell you something. Your mind, your heart, your Bible heart, where is your intellect, your ability to reason, your emotions, your understanding, right here, just this little thing right here, is worth more than every one of those. And yet, we don't spend a lot of time securing that to something that's important, and that's what we need to do. We need to get it secure. Because from it come the issues of life. When we think about this, and we know that happens in Proverbs 4:23, he would talk about this, and he's been talking about wisdom through these first several chapters, and he's trying to get it across to young people. Start. Get some wisdom. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it come the issues of life. You don't do anything in life. You know, people say, well, I just did that on the spur of the moment. No, you didn't. No. You don't do anything without this directing you. God gave us inside of here something that is beyond our comprehension, that can carry memories and everything else that guides us. And we don't even secure it. We don't anchor it. We don't put it where it's solid. We just let it go. If we're doing things spur of the moment, or I just flew off the handle, I couldn't control myself, we're lying. We chose to do what we did. Young people, we need to do that. That's exactly what Christ said in Luke 6:45, that we need to understand that there's not a thing that we do. There's not a one act in life. There's not one thing we say that didn't come from our head. Now, sometimes I will admit, that what seemed to come out of my tongue wasn't what I thought I was thinking of. It just came out that way, and I don't understand that, but that's just because I wasn't reasoning the way I should at the time. And he would say, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Interesting. What's the opposite of that? An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do we know about people? Listen to what they talk about. Listen to what they say. It doesn't take you very long. Turn on the television and listen to what people say. They don't think about what they're saying. Words come out. What caused that to happen? Well, they didn't develop good. They didn't secure their hearts when they were young. You need to start young with this. You remember the passage we use? Remember your Creator? When? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Think about that for a moment. That's what we need to do. Jeremiah, one of my favorites. I think of Jeremiah, and for some reason when I was young, I thought Jeremiah must have been a really old man. I mean, you just read this and it just seems like a man way old, didn't he? He had all that wisdom and all that. When God came to him, he said, God, I'm young. I'm young. I can't do this. And you know what? That's one of the things I appreciate about the young people here. They stand up and they do things. And I'm not talking about stand up in the assembly. I'm talking about they stand and they do things. They stand for God. They want to do what God wants them to do. Here's a man who says, I can't speak. I can't do it. And God said, you don't ever concern yourself about that. You see, when you turn your life over to God, we talk about prayers that are answered, the positive. Well, he said, just turn it over to me. Turn it over to me. Here's what I'll do for you. Whatever command you shall speak, don't be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you. But this just, every time I read this, it just runs cold chills over me. Touch his lips, and behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day, this young man, set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. Really? Was he one of those kings that Kyle talked about that wore the purple? No. He was more powerful than all of those kings because he had words. He had God. And it says to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. You know what they did? They denied Jeremiah. They said, no. No, the words you're giving us aren't right. He said, I'll tell you what, they are right and God will prove it. And how about Daniel? Here's Daniel. He went there. He's very young. They offered him all this wonderful food and all these things that he didn't have a right to eat, probably as a Hebrew. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I want to eat what's right. And I'll tell you what, I'll prove it to you. You give us what our God would be pleased with and check us out and see if we're not better off within a certain amount of days. And guess what? They were. Now, who took care of that for him? Daniel? No, God did. And let me tell you how ingrained this was in him. It was ingrained in him so that when we turn to Daniel 6, do you remember when he was 80-something years old? Do you remember what it said about him? It says that when he went up there, they already knew this about him. He hadn't changed. When did he develop this pattern of praying? When did he develop these things? Prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days. Think of something you do right now in your life, and you think back, and you'll realize, I've been doing that since I was a kid. It's just the way I do things. Why? That's the way I do it. Sometimes we don't even realize it. It may have something to do with the way we sleep, the way we do things, but we do. How about Esther? This beautiful young woman, beautiful woman. The Bible says, and I've said it before, if God says she's beautiful, she was beautiful. Young. She'd been brought up by her uncle. When we look at this and we think about it, or some say it's cousin, but regardless, when we look at this and we think about this, she had a choice to make. She was married to the king, but she said she hadn't even seen the king for 30 days. And I've talked before, we don't even know if this was marriage like we think of, or just a marriage for the state. But when we look at it and we think about it, she said, I can't even go before the king. And he said, I'll tell you what, if you don't do this, you don't know if God sent you here for this reason or not. He doesn't use the word God, but you came to the kingdom for this purpose. But he said, if you don't, someone else will. And so she said, I'll tell you what, you can see her upbringing. You go back and you tell all the people to fast, and you tell all the people to wear sackcloth, and you tell all the people to do these things, and then I'll get the courage to do it, and I will go do it. And she did. And of course, God took care of it. What courage. was scaring the parts. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you've got godly parents, don't make fun of them. Don't think that they're just some type of person that, is just trying to make life hard on me. No, they love you. They're going to make mistakes. And I'll guarantee you they're probably praying to God all the time about those things, but they're going to work hard at it. And we find in Proverbs 1 that if we expect to get wisdom, the first place it should come from in our lives is our parents. Sad to say, a lot of parents don't do it. I believe even a lot of parents that are claiming they're doing what God said just don't take the time to talk to their children. Don't take the time to train them the way they should. They provide everything else for them, but they don't provide the most important education in the world. Again, they're going to make their own choices. We're not going to control that. All we do is do it. But how about children? My son, hear the instruction of your father. Now, he's not talking about just let it go in one ear and out the other one. I think so many times I will quote my dad because, you know what? I heard that over and over and over and over again until it came ingrained in me. And I'm thankful today. Don't forsake the law of your mother. Husbands, or fathers, mothers, totally responsible for doing this. For they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. You want some beautiful jewelry to wear? You want to look beautiful? You put on godliness. There's not a jewel in this world, there's not a diamond in this world, there's not a pearl in this world that will make you look as beautiful as doing what your godly parents tell you to do. You will be the most beautiful person in God's sight, and you'll be beautiful to people around you. Whether they tell you that or not, they will admire you for what you do. At times I have had the courage to stand up against my friends when I was growing up and say, I'm not going to do that. You know what I found? That if I exerted peer pressure, a lot of times they wouldn't go do things that they had planned to do. Some of them would say, okay, you're right. It is so beautiful to see someone that is godly, that wants to do what their parents want them to do. And the same thing in Proverbs 6:20, he talks about how beautiful this is. It's being adorned so beautifully. And he talks about them, bind them around your neck. When you roam, in verse 22, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. Isn't this beautiful? And if we do this when we're young, isn't that now what we do as older people? And when you awake, they will speak with you. Oh, I have my parents still talking to me all the time. In the back of my mind, I remember what they had to say. They're still talking to me, and I will never forget it. I don't think as long as I've got a mind, at least, I won't forget it. For the commandment is a lamp. And that's exactly what happens. And the law is light. And reproofs and instructions are the way of life. You want a way of life, that's the way to do it. Of course, in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it talks about obeying your parents, honoring your parents, commandment with promise. And Cody and others talked about this when we were talking about the family, and this was a wonderful thing for us all to remember. But listen to God, first and foremost, more so than your parents. And I hate to even say it this way, but more so than your parents, listen to God. God is the one you'll eventually answer to. And all as parents, we don't always do what's right. None of us have. But in the 119th Psalm, verse 9, and I wondered if this song maybe came from that. How can a man, young man or young person cleanse his or her ways? By taking heed according to your word. Did you notice in that song when I read it? In the first assembly, that it one thing it pointed to was God's Word, God's Word, God's Word, God's Word. Always do God's Word because it'll make you wise. You'll be wise way above your peers. When they look at you, that you'll know how to answer things. You'll know how to understand things. You'll look around and you have the answer for things. When you look at creation, you don't doubt it. You don't start listening to what some human being has to say. You'll do it on your own. If you think for yourself, it'll declare the glory of God. You'll let it declare the glory of God. You'll understand that it took intelligence to design this, to put it together, to keep it together. Not some stupid theory about how it all just came into being. You'll be smarter than your peers. And that's exactly what David said. He said he found himself so much smarter in the 119th Psalm than those around him. Because he looked around and really they're not applying anything. They're not understanding anything. And then, trusting. Trusting. If there's one thing that I try to tell people, it's Trust God. If God said, I will answer your prayers, He'll answer your prayers. If God said, I will take care of you, I bring the rain on the just and the unjust, He'll do it. If God said, I will save you from your sins through my Son if you'll obey me, He meant it. You know, I probably, as a parent, said things I couldn't keep my promises. I've had to apologize to my kids because I did not, couldn't keep it. God's never done that. He never will. That's why He had this written, 3-5. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Wear some beautiful jewels. Be a shining light. You'll shine much greater than the greatest diamond in the world. You will be God's diamond that has been honed and put together and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, how do I do that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You want to secure your heart? Give it to God and lean not on your own understanding. The anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. It'll keep us. It'll hold us. And I'm thankful for that. Don't hate rebuke. Oh, it's so difficult when you're young and someone says to you, don't do that. And you go, who do they think they are? Well, that's just, what you're doing is going to get you in trouble. Oh, you must be thinking about somebody else. No. No. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but the child left to himself brings shame to his mother. 13:1. A wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Rebuke sounds like such a horrifying word, but it's really not. It's one of those where we are being told, do not do that. Someone loves you, they tell you don't do it. If I saw Kayla getting ready to go into a burning building for no reason other than maybe she wants to save one of her animals, that might sound, wow, that'd be a wonderful thing to do, go in and save one of them, but you know what? She's more precious. I would say don't. Don't do that. I would try to hold her back. I don't want her to get damaged just trying to do something like that that is noble in some ways, but it's going to get her in trouble. But would I not do the same thing to someone else in this room that's young when I see them starting to go in the wrong path, getting into a burning building of sin? But no. Be sober-minded. Titus 2:6, one of the things he talks about is be a serious person. Young people, it's great to enjoy all the things of life. We'll talk about that in just a second. But listen, when it comes to God's Word, be serious. It is our life. It's what we live for. And we have to be wise. We have to be wise. I want to read some of these passages from Proverbs. Proverbs 1, talking to young people in this, in verse 20. Wisdom's calling aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. In other words, it's available. 33, talking about wisdom. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. Why wouldn't I want that? Chapter 23, as a young person, why wouldn't I want security? Why wouldn't I want the right kind of security? 15 and 16, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak the right things. You want your parents very proud of you? Use some wisdom. Seek it out. Verse 19, hear my son, be wise and guide your heart in the way. Verse 26, my son, talking about wisdom again, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. All wonderful warnings. Give it over to God. But I would argue that I don't care what your age is. What your age is. I don't care that my bones ache today and I don't feel all that good. I'm going to tell you something. I have a merry heart. I have a happy heart. I just think of life and I think, wow, what a loving God to put me in a situation that even if this world was all I had, and it's not. What a beautiful setting to put a human being in and let him go around and look at all of his glory and all the majesty of the things he's created. So he says in 17:22, A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. Don't ever, ever at any age, but especially as a young person, don't ever, ever let your spirit get down. I don't care what's going on in life. Build your spirit back up. Put it in God. Have a merry heart. And then guarding your life. That's Fort Knox. Now, I don't know if there's any gold in there or not. They argue about whether there's gold there or not. And there's more guards than that, but that's a bunch of the guards that work there all the time. And they stay there all the time guarding that place. And if you've ever seen the Roman guards and what they did during the days of the Caesars, it's unreal. I mean, the guards that they had, well-trained, the best trained. And then, as good as it works, we tried to guard the presidents, and this President Reagan, and that's all the Secret Service around him, watching him, and all the policemen. You see all those people around him? And guarding his life. And you know he still got shot? Because just humans guard him. So we need something else, don't we? We need something more powerful than this. We need to guard our life from sin. We need to guard it. We need to make sure that we keep it. We've got all these, if you will, Secret Service around us. Do you know we have ministering angels? Do you know we have all of this that is available? We have all of our friends and family that are standing beside of us that are trying to live their lives right, that are there guarding us and trying to watch for us. But I'll tell you who the responsibility actually falls to. Me. At my age, well, guess what? It falls on you at your age as well. When you get to reach a certain age, you have some understanding. You need to apply that. You will be known by your deeds. Proverbs 20, verse 11. It's a kind of, I don't know where he meant this one to be humorous or not, but it is kind of humorous verse. Even a child is known by his deeds. You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but I mean, there's those children you're going, wow. That child was pretty rowdy. You're trying to eat in a restaurant or you're on a plane and you can't hear yourself think. Whether what he does is pure and right. And I don't know what age group he's talking about, but that's still true. You remember the rich young ruler in Luke 18? Christ talked to him and he said, I've done all these things from my youth up. But let me tell you what, he had not guarded his life from sin. He was a covetous man. When do you think that started with him? When he was young. He wanted things, there's no doubt. He never got away from that. He did not want to give up what he had. The only reason Jesus told him sell all that he had is because Jesus knew that was his downfall. Don't love the things of this world. The problem is, as young people, we get so entangled in this world and we want things, things, things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is lust of flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That gets us in trouble. But we really need to be doing, as he goes on to say, the will of the Father. That will take care of this. Do not let ever good things depart from your life. Keep them there. Keep them there and guard them. Make sure they guard you. In Proverbs 3, 21 through 26. In talking about wisdom, he said, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion so that they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck, that you may walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You don't have to worry about when you've done things right. If the police come knocking at the door, it sure won't be because you have done sin. It'll be because you've done right. And they might do something to you, but it'll never be because you've sinned. You will be like that. You won't suffer persecution and tribulation because of sin. You'll suffer it because of your doing what's right. Do not be afraid of sudden terror. Even if it comes upon me as a Christian, I'm not going to worry about it, are you? That's just, I have something better. Nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. I can't worry about things like that. I believe God will take care of me in whatever He chooses to do, and I believe it will always be positive, for the Lord will be your confidence. See, that's where I put mine. I have no confidence in me. I have confidence in God. I trust in Him and will keep your foot from being caught. And that's what it's all about. And it will increase the years of your life. You ever notice how many people get into evil? And I talk about this frequently and how quickly their lives end. Just recently, a young man out in California decided he's going to kill a bunch of people. And he killed them various ways, including using a vehicle, I believe, and then died. He's no longer in this life. And I know, he probably has some mental conditions. I don't know what the whole story was. But the truth is, that's because he did not have the law of God in his life. I know that. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. That's a promise from God. And he says that several times. But you've got to stay away from the wicked. You can't keep my dad's favorite saying along this line is you can't lay down with the dogs without getting fleas. His whole comment was you can't always be around dogs who have fleas and expect not to get them. You're going to get them. That's just the way it works. By the way, I don't like fleas. Those little rascals can bite and nip. They're terrible. They just eat at you. And they can cause some problems. And so, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. But it's so easy, God, just to follow the way of a multitude. It may be easy, but it'll get you in trouble. Ephesians 5, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But God, can I have a little bit? No. None. That's not a choice thing there about how much. It just don't. And he says, don't even talk about those things that are done in secret. That's how bad it is. We cannot expect to rub shoulders with sin and not get it on us. It just won't work that way. And Roger's taught how many lessons about that? About all the ways, the thorns, and all the things that are out there. But we think, I can do it. No, you can't. And don't be dependent on artificial happiness. So many people can't be happy in this life, so they've got to have something to make them happy. So they try all sorts of things. And you know what? Now they've got, not only are they not happy, but whatever it is they're doing to use to get happy, that makes them even more miserable. And I look at all these people. I was looking at some people the other day, and I was thinking, wow, if that's happiness, I don't want any part of it. That, to me, is just plain ugliness. In Proverbs 23:29-35. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. Alcohol gets you in trouble. But it's not the only one, but it will get you in trouble. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. I can handle it. No, you can't. Don't use artificial things to make you feel good. Use God to make you feel good. Use yourself. You are God's creation. And I think of all the things around us that are so happy singing every day. You know, those birds, they sing. I don't care what. I've never had a bird come up and go, well, you know what? Today I'm going to just complain all day to you. They don't do it. It's the most amazing thing, isn't it? Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. I'll tell you what it'll do to you. It'll just make a mess of you. You won't look so pretty anymore. You won't look like a jewel anymore. You'll look like someone who cannot control their own life. And you're going to let some artificial thing do it for you. Yes, you'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea or like one who lies at the top of a mast saying, you can't walk straight, you can't do anything straight. They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink or seek another way to make me feel good? Because I can't deal with life. You can deal with life. He told us how. Ecclesiastes 2:1-11, he talks about the same thing and going to the wrong places to get it. Trying to make ourselves feel good. And he says this. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. And that's what happens. But we have to guard all of our ways. I mean, I don't have 360 of guard. Neither do you. We have God's Word. If we'd keep it around us, it would do it. But we don't. And so we have these places that can be penetrated because we have weaknesses in it, because we haven't built it up the way we should have. If we'd have built up the fortress around us, if we'd have had those ropes tied, if we'd had all this going for us, we certainly could have done that. But in 39:1-6, I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. In other words, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Well, I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hard within me. When I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age as nothing before you. Certainly every man, his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks around like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches. He does not know how to gather them. Who did he turn it over to? He turned it over to God. He wanted to open his mouth. He wanted to say things about all these people, but he said, I'm just turning this over to God. And I realized something. Really, what difference would it make? If I whined and complained and I went to Mike and I talk about everything, he said the end result is it's not going to really do any good. And I'm not talking about we don't have a right to discuss issues of the day and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what he's talking about. He's just saying simply, but at some point, you got to leave us to God. You can't handle these things. I can't make things change just by snapping my fingers. I have to be very careful. I have to guard all of my ways. In Proverbs 23:19. And this is the key to it all. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guard your heart in the way. Guard it. Guard it. It is so easy to turn away from it. And how do I do this? Well, look into God. This is what I do. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, young people, start out this way. He says, what we need to do is just give it to God. We need to talk to God. We need to let God know, I've got this problem. I've got this situation. I've got this going on in my life. So be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen if you do that? And the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, will do what? Guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You want the greatest guard of all? Turn it over to Him. He'll take care of it for you. Then you won't have to worry about it. You see, the time to start serving God is don't wait. That's the time. When you understand what you need to do, don't wait. Do exactly what God said. Understand that He means it. That He'll take care of you. If we're stubborn and we wait and we say, I'm going to find a more convenient season, we might get to the point where he talks about in Ecclesiastes 12 that ain't going to happen now. I've done set up my heart. I've set up my life. I'm happy with the way it's going. And I'll just take the consequences when I leave this life. Don't get to that point. Because we might not find any pleasure in obeying him at that point today. Today, secure your heart. Guard your life. Keep sin away from you. Attach it firmly to God by being born again. As with the physical birth, the seed enters the mind. And I say this frequently because I try to get this point across. It's planted in the heart. Now it has a choice. If the soil is good, it takes root. Faith will result. Something starts to grow. It'll prompt repentance. It'll prompt confession. And guess what? It'll prompt the new birth. And what will happen in the new birth? You'll be coming out of water again. Physically, you came out of water to be born in this life. Well, spiritually, you do the same thing. You're immersed in water. Your faith and God's operation takes care of your sin. And that way you can come out a new creation. Do you have any needs? We'd love to assist you in any way we possibly can. Would you please stand?